The Lord be with you. We welcome you to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, and today is the beginning of a new church year. We are happy that you are here with us in the house of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Our order of service today is Divine Service Setting Number 4, found on page 203. You can use the side tab in your bulletin to follow along with the order of service today. According to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put them on their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Lord. Be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. If you have ever waited for something eagerly, expecting something, you know how hard it is to sit still. Maybe it's that important package, something that you've delivered or that you were expecting delivered for the holidays. And every rumble of a truck or a car in the neighborhood has you glued to the front window or the door. Is it the UPS guy? Maybe it's the arrival of your loved ones that you've not seen for a long time, for Thanksgiving or for Christmas. Maybe it's like the people in Chicago who were waiting for the Cubs year after year after year. We anticipate and we wait and we wait, even like little kids on the night before Christmas, waiting with great anticipation as to whatever it is that we are looking forward to. And the waiting is hard, especially for the Cubs fans. Is it ever going to happen? Will it arrive, the package arrive? Will my loved ones be here? And so we get impatient, we get anxious, we begin to even be worried as to whether or not it's even going to really happen. Watching and waiting and watching over and over again with great anticipation, that's what Advent is all about. We are now closer to the day of Christ's return than we ever have been before. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed, as we heard today. But do we have the same eager expectations, the longing for Christ's return? Do we have a sense of urgency and anticipation, great expectation as to that great and glorious day? Or have we become cynical and jaded as the rest of the world? Do we greet the return of Christ like the new package that is on its way? Or do we stop and think over and over again that it's probably never going to happen? It's been over 2,000 years, after all. Scripture speaks about this kind of behavior. Peter says this in his second letter, and I want you to listen carefully to what he says, because it perfectly describes our situation as we await the return of Christ. Peter says, "First of all, you must understand this, that scoffers will come in the last days, scoffing, following their own passions and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation." They deliberately ignore this fact that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and an earth formed out of water, and by means of water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. That's the flood. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist have been stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. We think that we know the future. We assume that there's going to be a tomorrow and a day after that. We plan things out weeks, months, and years, even ahead, as if all of these things are guaranteed to us. We don't tend to think about time running out for this world, that the day of Christ is nearer now than it ever has been. We forget, just as the world chooses to ignore, that the world as we know it was created by God. Come to adult Bible class today. We're going to be looking at all of that. He spoke his word, and it happened. And by that same word, all things will be put through the refining fire on the last day. We wrongly assume that because the things are the same yesterday and today, that they're going to be the same tomorrow. Only Jesus is the one who can promise that of himself. Listen to what else 2 Peter says. "But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing towards you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up." Gee, I thought this was supposed to be pre-Christmas, Pastor. Not so. Advent is one of those strange little seasons that we celebrate for 4 weeks, where we do not go with the rest of the world, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. We talk about the end times. We talk about the return of Christ, and we anticipate his coming again, as we just said in the Creed, to judge both the living and the dead. In the midst of all the shopping madness and the Black Fridays and Cyber Mondays, in the midst of all the racking up of bills and presents under the tree, the church takes pause and reminds you and me that Christ is coming, and he is coming soon, and that God's ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, and time isn't our time either. For him, all things are now, today, in the present moment, whether yesterday, today, or tomorrow. And so with God, there is no difference between a day, 1,000 years, because everything is present to him, here and now. We are the ones who experienced yesterday, we experienced today, and Lord willing, we will experience tomorrow. But when nothing happens for a long time, we expect nothing will ever happen. But remember what Jesus says. "Behold, I am coming soon." And even though he doesn't show up for 2,000 years, and even though we begin to wonder about whether he's going to return at all, it does not take away from what he has spoken by his word. And even though we tend to drift into things temporal and from eternal things, the things that are to come, to focusing on the things that are right now, the urgency of the end times does not disappear. The urgency for you and I to repent does not fade away, because the problems that you and I face are still at hand. Death still is at hand. Darkness and decay is still at hand. For we live in a dark and dying world. So why does God seem to delay? Why is it that he seems to be slow? Because as Peter says, he wishes for all to repent. He desires that no one would perish. He puts enough signs out there to warn the entire world that time is running short and coming to an end. Every war, rumor of war, every earthquake, fire, famine, and flood, that's what it's all about, and that's what this season is all about. We focus on Christ's return. Advent sets us on edge, waking us up a bit to remind us of the coming today, the day. We know and believe and confess that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. And so how do we prepare? How do we plan? Pastor, what should we do? Should we pray more? Should we ask God more about things? Should we read his word more? Should we volunteer at the church? Should we come to all the meetings and Bible studies? Sure, that's a good thing. But that's not going to make you any more ready than when you hear the words today, "I forgive you, and all is finished." In fact, we might look at coming to this place and sitting in this service where we do the same things over and over again, a way of practicing for the way that we will greet him on the last day. For just in a few short moments, we're going to reenact Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and even Palm Sunday at this altar. Not literally. We are going to use the words of Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed. We are going to hear about how he has offered up his life blood and his body on the cross. And we are going to sing those hosannas like those people did on that first Palm Sunday, welcoming him into Jerusalem as we welcome him into our midst. Because he's not way up there in a chair in the sky looking down on us. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, he says, there so am I. He has advented to you this day, come to you this day by his word and his supper. And we will begin to sing in a few short moments, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who has come into your hearing today, speaking to you the words of eternal life. Blessed is he who comes into your mouth through his body and his blood, giving you the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In the midst of our Lord have mercies and hosannas and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord singing, we greet Christ in our midst. We might say that every time we gather here, it is anticipation of that last day. While the rest of the world sleeps and slumbers in false security, the church awakens each Sunday to rise and greet her Lord, singing his praise and knowing that the salvation is closer today than when we first believed. And so how we see this shapes our future, and it shapes us now in the present. Do we live in darkness or in light as God's children? Do we live in the night or in the day? Do we indulge in the old sinful flesh of our Adam as it is passing away? Or do we walk in the newness of Christ and his light as new creations baptized into him? That's what Advent is all about as well, reminding us that we are not of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world, and this is not where we store up all of our treasures. We store up our treasures with Christ. That's what Advent is all about, with great anticipation. With all of the candles, Advent reminds us that you have received the light of Christ. In your baptism, you are children of the day. You are in Christ, and therefore you are his new creation. You have awakened to the reality that we are living in the end times, And day by day, our prayer is, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We struggle and we strive. We put off the old to put on the new because the King of Kings is drawing near. Once he came in humility, riding on a borrowed donkey and a colt into a city and a world destined for destruction. He came by a manger and a cross and a grave to save you, his people. And now he comes by his word and his meal to you this day to save you from your sin and from your death, and to remind you that he is coming again to judge the world by his own death and resurrection. It's not scary. It's something we should anticipate and look forward to. And yet, in that meantime, it's time to wake up, to watch, and to pray, for your salvation is now nearer than when you first believed. For your Jesus is nearer each and every day. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.